Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, good evening and welcome to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for over 60 years and counting. I'm Nate Geary, and joining me is Zach Jones, Tanner Saunders on the good old board, and the Bills, they win big, 40-9. And let me tell you, I am glad we are having this overtime show rather than the alternative, which was me talking about how Andy Dalton beat the Bills. But boy, oh boy, did Mr. Dalton look cooked.
He's having the run there of, yikes. You've seen a few backup quarterbacks where, oh no, they had to play. Now we all know how bad they are.
Yikes.
He's like the latest example of it. He looked awful.
Yikes.
He looked terrible.
Looked like he forgot how to play football.
Yep. Any kind of pressure that came at him, he's like, cool, yep, I'm done.
Just eyes straight down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to grab the ball with two hands and I'm just going to go down. So let's just acknowledge, A, the Bills played a quarterback who right now probably won't be on an NFL roster this time next year. But they beat a bad team with a backup quarterback, or a bad offense with a backup quarterback. That's right. What they're supposed to do. I'm just not sure any of us should take anything more out of it than what it is. And then obviously this one was a necessary performance, I would say, in most parts of this game, short of the pass game, which we'll get into, I'm sure, over the next 2 hours or so. But like I think about this game specifically as, what were the positives, the true positives? Because I'm not going to even take the entirety of this defensive performance as a positive. Because if it was any different, it would have been a huge failure. Like what they did today is what they needed to do, and I'm glad they did it. But I think if I'm going to find some positives from this game, I'm going to start first with Maxwell Hairston. Looking, I think he had my favorite play of the game, where he's on a one-on-one situation, lowers the shoulder, and the one thing, the knock on Maxwell Hairston was his physicality. And in that play, I'm not saying it dispels all concerns about his physicality, but seeing him getting his nose in there and being physical was a great sign for me in this game. Michael Hoyt walked in right off the bus and was their most dynamic pass rusher, and maybe had the most juice of any exterior, you know, edge player that we've seen line up in the Bills, in a Bills jersey, since Von Miller's first 8 games of the season a couple of years ago when he first got signed by the Bills. So those two things, really love to see. Listen, I don't know. What else do you want me to say about James Cook? I think he has established himself now as a bona fide top 10 back. And now we're starting to get into the conversation of should we talk about him in the names of the McCaffreys and the Saquon Barkleys and the Bijan Robinsons. I mean, that was the kind of performance on 19 carries, 11 and a half yards per rush today. Just an unbelievable performance. And then I might also want to say I liked what I saw overall defensively. We don't know what's going to happen with Oliver. I'm not holding my breath. I think he's done for the season. The mechanism, the replay of the injury in slow motion, him walking into the locker room after the game with his arm in a sling underneath his, the guy's done. Mm-hmm. So now the conversation goes to, do the Bills need to start considering defensive tackle options? Because it was the position they walked into the season saying, we are good. We don't have to worry about defensive tackle. If we lose a couple people, we have depth. Well, now they've lost Dwayne Carter. They've lost TJ Saunders. They've lost Daquan Jones, who they will get back here. But I wouldn't say anytime soon. He's at the end of his career.
Right.
He's coming off a calf injury. And we know that in the NFL and the NBA and all of these leagues that these calf injuries, you have to take extreme caution with because the next, you can make it worse. You can rupture an Achilles. And if Daquan Jones comes back too early and ruptures Achilles, you're screwed. So right now, I think Zion Logue probably was going to get signed to the active roster once they make the inevitable move to put Ed Oliver on the IR. And I like what I've seen from Logue this year, and we'll see how many other times they can bring up Jordan Phillips. I think one more time. He had a sack today and looked okay. But overall, I think there's a lot of positives you can take from this game. But for me, the biggest positive is going to be Maxwell Harrison looking like he belongs on the field. And I kind of kept, after the first drive and I saw him out there in the second drive, I was wondering why in the first place you would even put Tre'Davious White back on the field. Maybe that's just because he's on a pitch count. Mm-hmm. It's his first game back and you want to make sure you're not giving him too much too soon. But that guy's your starter in 2 weeks, I think.
That's why it was so positive, is that there was no dipping your toe into the water. Let's see what's going to happen here. They essentially pushed Harrison into the deep end. We're like, all right, let's see what you got. He looked good. He looked healthy, I think, is a big part of it. He looked like he was his fast self, which is exciting. I've been waiting for Hoyt, though, for the last 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
Looking at the suspension numbers dwindling and going, okay, what's this Hoyt guy going to give? The PFF grades loved him in the run defense. Didn't really know what he was going to give him in the pass rush.
He had juice.
And that's the thing. He's got juice. He ends up with a sack and a half, but he was constantly getting into Andy Dalton's face, causing problems. He causes one of the fumbles just by getting his hand up there. You also got to see Joey Bosa flourish a little bit more. But also it's 40-9, and Carolina at times looked like they didn't really want to be there. And so that's the thing is, love what James Cook did, like what Max Harrison did, love what Michael Hoyt did. After that, it's a lot of, Carolina. Okay, so this is where the negative point differential was coming in. You weren't really your 4-3 record. Okay, this makes sense. Buffalo had 2 weeks to prepare for you. The Ed Oliver injury, though, is going to loom large for them. Like you mentioned, they already got a lot of injuries at the defensive tackle position. And while you do have the bright spot of Deion Walker continuing to be a force out there, they're running out of bodies.
They are running out of bodies. I'm glad you also mentioned Deion Walker because I think he had another standout game. This time more as a pass rusher. But they've stumbled on something there. They've got something with Deion Walker. He's going to have to stay healthy. They're going to have to put him in bubble wrap. I mean, it's just they're at the point. Larry Ogunjobi's back. That's going to help him. But he was really kind of more considered a depth piece than a high-end level player. So I do wonder if the Bills do start looking around for some defensive tackle help across the league. I don't think there's a big swing out there because I think the Bills do really need to make a move at receiver. And I think that leads us into maybe some of the negatives from today. And maybe we won't frame them as negatives, but more so leaving a lot to be desired is this group of receivers cannot separate.
No. And
wait, hold on. Rewind back to 2021. These receivers can't separate. Let's rewind back to 2018. These receivers can't separate. Yeah, we'll just keep going in the far back machine until we can find a time when the team had Eric Molds and Andre Reed. I don't know.
We're going to keep doing this.
I've got real concerns. And Josh Palmer's going to come back. But even so, Josh Palmer, I think, is a situational player. I think he is a 65, 70% of the snap guy. But there's no doubt to me, he needs to, once he's healthy, he's in the lineup and Keon Coleman's got to come out of it.
Well, and that's been maybe the most frustrating thing in two ways. One, you're looking at the Bills operation as a whole going, yeah, Palmer needs to be starting over Keon Coleman. Like he's been better than him. He's actually getting separation. He's more of a, kind of more of an established receiver. But then the secondary, and why it's also frustrating, is your second round pick at receiver isn't doing anything. If anything, he's exactly what everyone said he was coming out of the draft. He's not proven anybody wrong, and that is sort of just a depth piece. I think my biggest issue with their wide receiver room, separation is a way to look at it too, but they lack speed. They lack guys that can threaten a defense, push a defense back a little bit to be a little scared. Me and Derek have talked a lot about it on the Extra Point Show from 10 to noon on weekdays, about how, you know, cover two and deep balls are going away a little bit in the NFL. It's not really the case anymore this year.
Yeah.
Teams are able to attack because defenses have had to adjust. They're looking to the run game. The Bills can't attack that because their best separation guy is a tight end. And I like Kincaid. He's had a breakout year this year if he can stay healthy. But past that, Khalil Shakir is a slot guy, and he's not Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's not a disrespect. He's just not him. They don't have that Jameson Williams. And that's where, like, I do look at some of these other offenses and go, I don't need you to add Chris Olave. Not in the short term. In the long term, sure, I'd love it. But in the short term, I just look at somebody like a Rashid Shaheed on the same team and go, he adds a different dynamic that the Bills just don't have right now and could open them up. My problem is, are we going to really do this 2 years in a row adding a receiver?
They need a threat that can get down the field even if they don't throw it to him.
Absolutely. Just let the defense know the threat is there.
Yes.
Look what the Chiefs do with Worthy. Those deep bombs don't always hit, but it's the fact that they throw it, miss, and the defense goes, oh, hell, that guy's fast. We can't cover him. Drop back.
And as we were mentioning before we got on air, he takes two roles for you. He allows you to move on from Brandon Codrington. And let me tell you, outside of, you know, they tested today with Keon Coleman, which I think, by the way, is a bad sign if he's starting to return punts. Khalil Shakir was back there. And what they're getting out of the kick return game, every game, teams are starting their drives on the Bills 30 or on their own 30, 35 yard line. And the Bills are continually starting drives at the 20, 25 yard line. They are just not getting anything from Ray Davis or Ty Johnson as kick returners. And it's either you put Brandon Codrington back in the lineup and figure out the numbers and make it work, or you go get a guy that can actually play football for you on Sundays on the 53-man roster and also can return kicks. But what they're doing right now is not working in the return game, so they need to make a move on that. And that's why I think Shaheed has made sense from the very beginning. I don't think it requires huge assets to go get maybe a third, maybe a fourth round pick. And he's got this year remaining on his contract, and then you can figure out what you want to do with him after that. But like, they need to make a move, and I think Shaheed has been the guy to me that has made the most sense. All right, let's get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. And Amy in Lancaster has been waiting so very patiently. Kicks off the overtime show. Good evening, Amy. Welcome to the overtime show.
Hey. Hi, guys. It was such a good game today, and I was just going down the whole, I thought I was going to get on the other segment, but because everybody was so down on the Bills. But I like your attitude. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with our team, you guys. Like, I don't know what's going on with Bills Mafia out there. Like, our wideouts don't suck, and neither does our quarterback. It's just speed and just timing. I think that is off. Okay, and there's so many good things. You know, we needed this win for next week, going into next week, that we can score. It's complimentary football again. That's what we're doing. And also, I wanted to hear your thoughts on Prater. Like, I don't think, what do you think about him missing that extra point? That could have been, you know, important. And then his kickoffs, you know, were they so great? Like, what do you think? Nick, tell me.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call, Amy. Yeah, Prater's first missed extra point. I think when Bass is healthy, it's his spot. Prater's been, I think, very reliable. I think once Bass is here and they let Prater go, Prater will be kicking for someone else this year.
Probably.
There's just so many kicking issues across the league. Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess, what I would say about that. Let's go to Chris in Niagara Falls. Chris, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Chris.
Hey, good evening. Joe Brady lives again, right? Lives another week. Hey, just wanted to get your thoughts on offense. Two things in particular. Obviously, the running game was very successful today. But normally, we don't seem to pass the ball to any of our running backs. First
no.
thing. And then the second thing is just wanted to get your thoughts on our offensive play calling in general is very vanilla. There's not
yes.
much imagination to it. And obviously, this is the big test this coming week against Kansas City. And I feel, you know, guy against guy, straight up, you know, run down your throat football is probably not going to work against them. So I appreciate your time, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on those two things.
Yeah, they ran like the same running play 15 times today. Maybe more.
It's amazing.
Honestly, maybe more.
Tonight, I think it was much more the fact of the Panthers
really well.
Could not stop it,
yeah.
so why go away from it?
It worked well.
But yeah, I mean, the running, the throwing to the running backs thing, that's been the last few weeks where
I'm frustrated because it cost me a parlay today.
Oh, well, that's fair.
13 and a half yards is all I needed receiving from James Cook, and he didn't even get a target today. 12 of 19, Josh Allen finished this game with, by the way, for 163 yards and a score. I know they're blowing out a bad team. But,
I mean,
man, it just looks so difficult
for their
pass game to get going. And I know Amy mentioned it's timing and speed and whatever else, but, like, timing is part of it. But what you're starting to see with Josh is starting to revert back to some habits we've seen from earlier in his career.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not doing that because he doesn't have timing with his receivers. He's doing it because he doesn't trust his receivers are getting open. And what it's doing is forcing him to miss plays out in the field because there isn't the trust that if he continues to stay on a player that they're going to get open. And he's running around and taking bad sacks because no one is getting open.
And there's no rhythm to the passing game either.
They
cannot get into a run
of
just
screens and sweeps.
Yeah.
And I said, that's going to be the new name of all my fantasy football teams. It was screens and sweeps. That's all they had. And the passing touchdown today was a 4-yard hook pattern that your player, you know, broke off four tackles and scored a 50-yard touchdown on. So, yeah, no, I don't have a lot of faith that the current group is capable of getting them to where they want to go, which I think is part of the reason, you know, like, I have a little skepticism of this game. It was, I think, so much like so many games over the past 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I just, like, if you keep feeding me the Apple baby food, eventually I'm going to get sick of the Apple baby food and want something else. And that's where I am with these regular season blowouts against bad teams. And at the end of the year, we'll say, well, look at the differential. They've got the greatest, best differential of any team in the last whatever. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. The next closest team is. And I say, okay, great. They blow out bad teams. And I think that's a sign of a good team. You should beat the bad teams. But at a certain point, like, I don't know where you are with this game next week. I want to feel like I should feel the same way I did last year, which is I don't care what happens. Because just wake me up when it's January.
Oh, I've been there for,
like,
a few years
in
Kansas City. Yeah.
How about this? And good for the Patriots. They think that their quarterback's the MVP and they're the front runners to win the division. I don't care if they win the division. I don't care. Patriots can have it. You want the division? Take it. I don't care. Because it just hasn't mattered. And they're probably not going to win the one seed. Indianapolis is a friggin' wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And they let that happen. So, well, they didn't personally let it happen. But I guess where I am is just like, oh. And I hate feeling this way, that I just get here after these games, win, lose, draw, whatever. Luckily, they haven't had a lot of those draws. But, like, what am I supposed to feel? Am I supposed to do some cartwheels in the hallway here because the Bills beat the Panthers with Andy Dalton? No, I mean, they did what they should have done.
And we've been here for a few years.
I've been here too long.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you were bringing up, like, the joking stat of, like, they've had the highest point differential over the last 5 years. It's always, though, with the added caveat of to not make a Super Bowl, to have not won a Super Bowl, to have not made it to a Super Bowl, what have you. And that is the frustrating part with where I think most of us are at, or at least a good portion of us are at, is that, yeah, cool. Like, I'm happy they won 49.
Yeah.
I was also incredibly bored watching most of the game. Like, outside of James Cook touching the ball, I was kind of bored. And, yeah, like, it matters more about Kansas City, and I care more about Baltimore somehow beating Chicago today. So now they might be somewhat alive when Lamar Jackson comes back next week. I care more about that stuff. And that is, I think, a bad spot to be in. Because now we're not really enjoying any sort of ride. Like, that is a big part of it for me, is let's say they win the Super Bowl. Looking back, how am I going to remember the season? Right now, I want to remember the season is I was mainly irritated, and it was mainly annoyed. And I was constantly poking holes in the team because they were there. It's not like they're made up. But we're not really enjoying any part of what's going on because we've all been here for so long. Let's be honest, Nate. We're all sitting here going, we're probably going to beat Kansas City next week. Because they always do.
Yeah, I know.
Because they always do. But will it matter in January?
I don't know that they're going to beat Kansas City next week. I think Kansas City's, at this point in the season, a lot better than the Buffalo Bills.
100%.
And yet,
but the way the Eagles go.
They're 3-3. They'll probably be 4-3 after tonight. Is it tonight? Monday night. And I just want to make sure everybody understands, and I'll speak for you, assuming you agree with me, but you can tell me if I'm wrong. You are free to feel any way you want about the Bills after a game like this. You can be excited. You can be, we're back. You can do the whole thing. That is, I won't speak for everybody, when I say games like this are fine, and they should have won this game the way that they did. But I want to know, and I guess it comes down to what objectives are left for me when it comes to the regular season. And it's, I want to know that when they need to, that they can throw the football. And right now, short of one quarter, I have not seen this team successfully or consistently separate and win through the air with one of the best quarterbacks of the last 15 years. I mean, he is an absolute unicorn, and the most successful plays offensively through the air are plays that you need a wide receiver to run 50 yards after he catches the ball 2 yards down the field. So I don't know if that means, listen, it's very possible the solution that the Bills are going to go with is sit on the practice squad right now and Gabriel Davis. It's very possible. And will it be what we all wanted? No. Will it help? I don't know, maybe, but I think where I come down on all of this is I want you to be excited if you want to be excited. And I don't want to come off as someone that's telling you how to feel. It's not what I want to do. It's not what I'm ever going to do. You are good to feel however you want after any of these games. I got a mic and you don't. That's the difference, right? And I get to be, you know, I guess a miserable prick about it, which I don't really feel like I'm being miserable. But I guess I do sort of just feel like, okay, just like kind of wake me up in January. And I don't know, did I come into the season thinking that? No, probably not. But I just think you go through these lulls during the year, and then I get upset during them. And then I'm like, it's getting harder and harder to dig myself out of the negativity, even when there's positive things to talk about. So it's why it's like I have to start by just acknowledging there are positives. Here's what they are. Here they exist. They're real. And let's take them for what they are and move on. But, you know, I don't know what next week's going to feel like for me. I don't know what the lead up's going to feel like, because I guarantee every talk show this week, every TV show, every debate show, every, you know, show here on this station all week is going to be, oh, it's the Bills and the Chiefs, and it's so important, and it's this and this, and I'm going to feel the same way I felt last year, which is like, who cares? They won it, and everybody told me if they didn't win, they would not have a chance for the one seed. They won, and they still didn't get the one seed. So, like, for me, I've sort of given up on the idea that this team is ever going to find a way to the one seed. Everybody agrees it's the most important thing, and yet they can't seem to do enough to get to it. So I don't know. Are anybody watching the Indianapolis Colts or the, you know, Kansas City Chiefs and think that like the Bills' schedule's easy, but they got the Bucs coming up, and they're in the midst of a little rut, the Bucs are right now, right? And they've got New England again coming up here in a couple of weeks. And if they lose New England, it's over. They're not winning the division. And they might still not win the division even if they beat New England in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, I don't know. Would winning six divisions in a row, yeah, it'd be great. I would celebrate that for 2 minutes, because the first time it was awesome. The second time it was awesome. The third time I was like, okay, this is cool. Three in a row, bro. The fourth time, yeah, this is awesome. The fifth time I'm just like, yeah, what does it mean? Because when they get to the games that really matter, and I had this conversation on Twitter with somebody. I said, if Ed Oliver is out for the season, they're probably cooked. And, oh, well, you know, they're not cooked. They look great today. He's the only guy to me capable of truly wrecking a game from start to finish and has 3 sacks in 2 games and a quarter.
Yeah.
And if you don't have him, I think you're in real trouble defensively, and they already are in real trouble defensively. So, yeah, all of this to say, they did win, and they're going to have a chance next week at home against a team that they hate and they always lose to in January to win. And I just, you know, when the Bills lose, it's hard for me to, like, turn off. Like, when they lose, I specifically don't watch TV for the first month. I don't watch it on Sunday night, and I don't watch it on Monday, and I don't watch it on Tuesday. And I feel like I'm getting to that same place when they win. Like, I don't want to hear Mike Greenberg talk about how damn good the Bills are. I get it. Like, everybody thinks they're good. I guess the question that I have that still is not answered, and I'm not sure we'll get the answer in the regular season, because I think the regular season is a liar. It's like Mac, you know? Science is a liar sometimes. The regular season's a liar. It makes you feel good. You win lots of games, but it just hasn't come to fruition. So, yeah, there's a lot of football left to play this season, and I want to see this team get it right. I want to see them look right, both offensively and defensively, against somebody that matters. So this next week is going to be that opportunity for them. And while I'm saying it, I still feel like it won't matter.
Yeah.
Even if they do have a full offense, defense, special teams, the passing game looks good. They're separating. They're in the red zone, and they're not, you know, settling for field goals. And Josh Allen isn't running around for 10 seconds and then getting sacked because nobody can get open. If we can see all of those things next week, I'll still feel I'll be on here and I'll be elated and won't have this kind of vibe to it. But yeah, it's just, I feel like we're probably all in a semi-similar spot when it comes to, great, you beat the living snot out of Andy Dalton. Let's do this for real next week. And I think it could have been very easy for the Bills to overlook this matchup and just look down to next week
and said,
we're on to Kansas City, and they could have won this game 30-28, and it'd been a nail biter the entire time. You wouldn't have thought it was boring. I would have been like, this is, you know, I would have been, this the end of the world. Everything's crashing down. But it wasn't. They took care of business, and, you know, the rest is history.
On to Kansas City.
On to Kansas City. Let's grab one phone call again before we take another time. Let's go to Mark in California. Mark, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Good win today overall. I think on the defense, something to think about a little bit is, and it's a little bit of a McDermott thing. It's been a McDermott thing from time forever that I can remember, but we have some really young, talented, athletic guys. I don't know that I need, I love Poyer. I don't know that I need to see him over Hancock. Hancock looked pretty good today. Harrison looks ready. I think that's a difference maker. Young, athletic guys seem to win in the NFL. And I will just take a little bit of disagreement with you on the receiver room. It's pretty bad. I don't think Rashid Shaheed is the guy. I think you need a wide receiver one. I think we've always needed a wide receiver one since Diggs left. I think the idea you don't need him is crazy. And until we get that, I think we're going to be having the same conversation. Gadget guys aren't it. Josh Palmer has been a wide receiver three forever. Great piece. We need a guy.
I just here's one thing. Let me add this, Mark, and then I'll let you respond to it. So stay on. I don't disagree that they need a wide receiver one. I just don't think you can do that in the middle of a season. I don't think those guys are really available. And if they are, you're going to dramatically overpay for one. So where I'm saying the Shaheed conversation starts is he's a this year commitment. There's no money after this year. There's no dead money. He fills a role that at least he provides something that they don't have on this roster, which is at least the threat that he can run past you and Josh Allen can throw a football a mile into the air and let him run under it. The Bills don't have that on the roster. They haven't had that on the roster since John Brown, right? So I see this, and I say this with respect to your point, which is that I agree with you. They will need a number one wide receiver at some point. They don't have it. I don't think one's walking through this door anytime soon. So if I asked you, if I said to you, Mark, you can't have wide receiver one this year, but maybe next year you can. But right now, I can offer you a player that helps you take the top off the defense, gets Keon Coleman off of the field, and gives you a full-time kick and punt returner that actually was a Pro Bowl kick and punt returner last season. Now you can get rid of that Brandon Codrington spot, and now you can have a extra defensive tackle or an extra linebacker or an extra offensive lineman that you dress. You know what? So, like, I get what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you. I think the devil's advocate here is, what other options you got?
I agree. Look, I agree. Like, if you're going to do nothing, that's not an option. But
yeah, agreed. I agree with that.
Brian Thomas Jr., if he's available, let's put that aside. I'll say the fact that the story came out and the Jaguars didn't immediately say it's not true suggests he's available. But if he's available, I give up a first-round pick, Nate. I mean,
I would too. I would
you're
too.
In the league. We got to overpay because Beans mismanaged this thing.
Yeah, you know,
you're kind of at that point.
You're not wrong, Mark. And Mark, listen, I appreciate the call, but we got to take a timeout. Thanks for the conversation. I don't think you're wrong. I think there's probably more meat on that bone for as a conversation for the rest of the way here tonight. So we'll continue taking your phone calls and talk more about wide receiver tomorrow on WGR. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe break the game down in the morning. Then the extra point with Sal Capaccio at 10, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Shope and Bulldog at 3, featuring Eric Wood at 4. Then 7:30 p.m., Westwood One presents the Commanders at the Chiefs Monday Night Football on WGR. On Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll get you a Bruin around the league on the other side. We'll also get you an eye on the quarterback as well, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here's the snap. Looking right. Pumps. Pressure getting to him again, and it's a fumble recovered by Deion Walker, the big fella running the other way and tackled by Rico Dowdle at the 20-yard line. It's Buffalo football.
Chris Brown on the call. Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Before we go any further, let's get a quick check around the league with Zach Jones.
All right, so we've only got three games going on right now, and none of them are particularly close, namely the Colts-Titans, that game, 31-7. You talk about efficiency in a running back. You know, James Cook does what he does, only in 19 carries. Jonathan Taylor, 10 carries, 149 yards and two touchdowns. Daniel Jones also continuing his career resurgence in Indy, 18 for 25, 230, and two touchdowns again. They're up 31-7 on the 1-6 Tennessee Titans. Also going on right now, Broncos up 30-17 over the Dallas Cowboys. And the Buccaneers, who are dealing with a world of injuries, doesn't seem to be bothering them all that much. They're up 23-3. That game is the only one in the fourth quarter. The other two are in the third quarter. And then coming up for Sunday Night Football, the Packers are at the Steelers. And I believe I saw a stat that the Packers have not won in Pittsburgh since Richard Nixon was in office, which seems absolutely insane to me.
Like the Richard Nixon?
The Richard Nixon, wow. Yes. Yes. That feels crazy to me.
That is something.
Let's go.
That is something. All right, there's your Bruin Around the League. It's brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. All right, let's get a quick eye on the quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. And Josh Allen finishes 12 of 19, 163 yards and a touchdown. He was sacked twice and finished with a passer rating of 180. Also added three carries for 7 yards and two touchdown. So there's your eye on the quarterback. Let's get back to the phones, get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G provider of the Buffalo Bills. Greg in Orlando wants to get us going on this segment. Greg, good evening.
Good evening, guys. Great show. I share your sentiments. My problem is I've watched the Bills now for 5 great seasons. The defense always lets them down in the end. We know that. I don't think the team has gotten any better. And at the point right now, I think they have two legitimate stars, Josh Allen and James Cook. I don't know how you win a Super Bowl with that kind of roster. You could put it all on Bean because I think his drafts have been pretty poor the last 5 years. But why do they have a guy like Joe Brady as an offensive coordinator? He has no resume for that. He coached receivers for LSU for 1 year. And I think it was a part-time OC for part of the year for Carolina. There's great minds out there. I don't think Brady's one of them. And God only knows why Babich is a defensive coordinator. I think the team is better than it shows. I just think it's very poorly coached. And for whatever reason, Bean seems afraid to bring in anyone who might threaten McDermott's position. As to Josh Allen, I don't know. He had 3 touchdowns today. He does not have the receivers to throw to. The offensive line concerns me. It seems like they can't handle a blitz, which is coaching, and Allen is not getting clean pockets anymore. That affects the entire passing game. I'll listen to you guys, but I think Allen really needs a go-to deep threat elite receiver. All top quarterbacks do. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Greg. I will say part of the free rushers is a little bit on Josh. He's got to get those.
Yeah.
He's got to get the – like I thought Greg Olsen did a great job during the game breaking that situation down where you've got 5 blockers and 6 rushers. Someone's going to come free. It's the quarterback's job to get it protected properly. And, you know, whether it was Deion Dawkins not getting the communication from Josh, but Dawkins goes for the outside guy and lets an inside rusher just, you know – free rush right towards Josh, and there's no hot available when the, you know, defender's right in your face the second you get to the top of your drop. So they got to clean some things up. They got to have better answers against the blitz. And the last 2 weeks, even, you know, prior to the bye week against Atlanta, I did not like a lot of their answers to blitz. I did like, and if you go back today, if we go back and watch the film, that the Khalil Shakir touchdown I thought was a good answer against pressure. It's a pressure look. Ball came out quick. All it takes is Khalil Shakir to break one tackle, and he can be gone. That's kind of my skinny on that. What do you got, Zach?
I mean, the Joe Brady stuff, we're really downplaying what his resume was. I think kind of just to take a shot at him. He was not the main play caller at LSU, but he was the pass game coordinator, helped build the offense, and was their third down play caller. Also at Carolina, he was fired because he ran the ball not enough for Matt Rhule, but he was there for about a year and a half. I mean, he had a pretty darn good resume to come into the Bills as an offensive coordinator. I've been saying this since the offseason. I do think they have a talent issue. I don't know really about their coaching. A lot of it is talent. I agree with the caller, though. I think they have 2 stars, Josh Allen and James Cook. After that, it's a huge question mark everywhere. And a lot of it's also the guys that they gave big contract extensions to on the defense with Rousseau and Benford and Bernard. They've been, at best, disappearing acts. you know, at worst, they've been actual hindrance to them. Benford at times this year, and same with Bernard. Ed Oliver is starting to shine, but he's hurt now, and it may be the year. We'll see about that bicep injury. I am kind of there with Babich, though. I'm going to be honest. I don't really know what's going on with Babich, and throughout all of social media, it was up in the air if McDermott had taken play calling away because they got better. And they've looked much better since the second half against Atlanta, and it continued on in today. I think it isn't a talent issue. I agree, though, with your point to the last, not this caller, but the last caller before that. You're not fixing the wide receiver one issue in October. That's not being done. If you want to go get Chris Olave, look, man, be my guest. But he's one concussion away from calling it a career, and he's going to be very expensive. And you've got an injury. Look, that's the thing. We sometimes throw around injury prone a lot. That poor guy's taken a lot of hospital balls, and it has not done well for his career. On the short term, I think someone like Shaheed can just expand the offense a little bit, have that option to maybe throw the ball deep, what have you. But you're not fixing the wide receiver position right now.
That's a fact. You are not fixing it. I don't think you're not changing the position dramatically. I think you can change pieces to it. I think any move they make that could get Keon Coleman off the field, I'm open to.
I would be okay with that at this point. Look, I get it. He's 22 and it's his second year. He's not doing anything for them. And to be perfectly honest, he doesn't fit what they want to do.
No.
That's the worst part. You spent a second round pick on a guy that I don't think ever fit what you wanted to do, which is separation, get open fast, get the ball out quick. And yet he does none of that. And it's not really his fault. I think he could excel a number of different places, a big slot. Instead, he's picked by Buffalo. You know, look, they're a well-run organization, but I do agree with the caller. The Bills' drafting over the last few years has not been good. It may be turning a corner with guys like Deion Walker, and we'll see about Max Harrison and James Cook, of course. But they have not done well in terms of adding stars, and that does not mean Hall of Fame talent. But it does mean guys that in high-leverage situations, they're getting great plays, and you just don't have that. I mean, Mike and Bulldog have gone back and forth with this on our afternoon show. Constantly of what's actually to blame in these last few years. Is it the offense? Is it the defense? Yes, the defense gives up 30 points to an offense in Kansas City that hadn't done it all year. But 2 years in a row, the Bills offense has had the ball to go take a lead or to go win the game. And both times they could not come up with it. So I think it is a talent issue. And we have hit that point, I think, with Allen's career. There is a more extreme version of that. Look at Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
There is a more extreme version of that. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not ignoring it. But there is also to look at Allen and go, how are we going to talk about his career at the end of it? I think for me it's going to be a lot of there were some missed opportunities early and then late after the first iteration retired and moved on. They could not adequately replace almost any of them.
Especially on the defensive side of the ball with a defensive head coach.
Yeah.
803-0550 is the number to call. We got a couple of open phone lines if you want to get your thoughts in. On the other side, we'll also hear from Bills newcomer Michael Hoyt live from the locker room. So we got a bunch to get to here. And then we've got hour two coming up on the other side as well. The Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show here on WGR.
Takes the snap, four-man rush. Back to pass, but Hoyt collapsing the pocket again, and he's after him, and he's got him on a second effort for the sack. The Canadian Crusher drops him.
The Canadian Crusher. I don't know that's going to stick, but if Chris Brown gives you a nickname, I think you just kind of go with it.
You roll with it.
Yeah, you roll with that. All right, welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary, Zach Jones along with you. Let's go to the locker room and hear from the Canadian Crusher himself, Michael Hoyt, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
Yeah, I mean, the football 101 stuff I was good with, and then, you know, you never know how a game's going to go, so, you know, it's honestly good practice to be able to make adjustments, you know, be able to, it's one thing if you can just draw it up on a board, it's another thing to go out there and actually have to do it while you're tired. So, you know, thankfully I had fresh legs because that was a lot of 2 minute drives at the end there, but it's good to be back.
It'd be nice to be in a game for you guys where you're up a lot and you can just spin it back and go, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best way to pass rush is for the offense to score 40 because that makes our job really easy, and it's like, you don't really have to play 50-50 run pass. It's like they're throwing the ball. So you pin your ears back and go.
We saw you outside. We saw you inside. We know you're versatile players. Is that what we can expect of how you'll be used a lot this year. It's just basically all over the place, then not knowing where you're coming from.
It's going to be week to week, and you know, we're going to figure out the best way to attack protections, the best situations to put guys in. And you know, that's the nice part here, is we're going to figure out what each player is kind of good at and put us in good spots. And you know, if that's me inside, outside, off the ball, you know, offense, whatever, I'll literally do whatever there's asked of me. And yeah, so far so good.
Saw you roll into that celebration, throw up the two fingers. I mean, did it feel like at that point in the game that you're kind of in his zone? And what's it like to get into his zone as a pass rusher?
Yeah, I mean, when the score gets like that, it's very clear, it's very obvious, and you know, that's when you can start to tee off, and that's what makes good defenses. So you know, it's a complimentary game, and so when we go into a week of practice, like every time the offense gets in the end zone, it's like more and more our pass percentages and our reps, and you know, to get so many guys on the board this week, you know, that feels good as a group. It's gonna be a fun watch tomorrow.
All right, there is the newest Buffalo Bill making his debut, and a heck of a debut at that. That's Michael Hoyt there, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Brian in Arcade. Brian, good evening. You're on the Overtime Show.
Hey, guys. So, I mean, I think the Ed Oliver injury is going to change the calculus at the trade deadline. Before that, of course, wide receiver is a candidate. I just have no faith in this team to, if they made a trade for wide receiver, for it to matter at all. And I go back, you know, you go back, I think the line is drawn. As soon as they made that decision to bring in Emmanuel Sanders as your number two, I think that's the moment in time which Bean gave up on looking for real elite help at wide receiver. I mean, that's the demarcation line for me. We remember him so fondly, but go look at the game logs. That guy was out of gas by seven games in, and he retired shortly after. You go to 2022, Jamison Crowder. The guy had no role, then he got hurt. 2023, we bring in Trent Sherfield, and we hype up Deontay Hardy. Those guys had no roles, and by the playoff games, it was clear, like, Allen's throwing prayer bombs to Trent Sherfield. He can't get it done. They trade for Nyheim Hines. 11 touches on offense, touches combined after they trade for him. Curtis Samuel in 2024. He's been here a year and a half now. He has absolutely no role. It's a bubble screen or a jet sweep. That's all he can do. We trade for Amari Cooper. He gets hurt immediately. He has no role the rest of the way. We are now at Elijah Moore. No role. Same thing. He can catch a bubble screen every once in a while, or we try a jet sweep with him. And then Josh Palmer, the Chargers' number three, number four wide receiver, has never had a 1,000-yard receiving season in college or in the pros. So you can go trade for Rashid Shaheed. Nice player. I don't think he changes anything at all. I mean, that's multiple coordinators, multiple staffs on the offensive side of the ball. The Bills don't utilize that player. And now you have an offensive coordinator who doesn't want to throw the ball vertically anyways. We look for spot throws. The best play today was a Kincaid throw on an over route, and that was open. Other than that, there was nothing. You could trade for Shaheed. I think he sits there and does nothing in the rotation. Palmer has 14 catches on the year. That guy was hyped. So to bring it back around, if I'm the Bills, I'm looking for an interior defensive lineman because you are paper thin there, paper thin. If Deontay Walker sprains an ankle, you're down to Zion Logue and Praydon Mathis at the defensive tackle.
Listen, and don't hang up, Ryan, because I want to tell you I don't disagree with you, but I don't think because of history that you should just say, because how much I might rebuttal Brian and tell you, they've done 5x what they've done for wide receiver at defensive tackle, defensive end, at safety. And none of those guys really matter. None of those guys are game-changing players. So why would I just throw more assets at a defensive tackle when Zion Logue comes in and I didn't really see it that big of a drop? So I think you can make an argument for both sides of this. I guess where I get to it, Brian, is I don't know that I can accept the fact that you've created such one-dimensional options for your quarterback that has such a weapon attached to his body with his arm. I mean, he just has an unbelievable arm. And you watch Bo Nix, and you watch Tyler Shuck, and you watch, like, Tyler Shuck throws just overthrows Rashid Shaheed. Zach and I both just posted about it. It was just a simple twitch move, and Shaheed's got 5 yards of separation. All you need is a quarterback to just put it on his hands. He's walking into the end zone. Nobody on the team currently has the ability to just make a stutter step and then outrun a defender. And maybe you're right. Maybe that guy gets two targets a game. But for me, I would rather go out swinging, trying to get a player that could change the minds of defensive coordinators and how they – just the threat, Brian, of being able to beat you over the top because some guy can outrun you. This team has had that one time. It was John Brown, and that was the best version of Josh Allen we've seen, is when the threat – for the over-the-top stuff, and you know what else it did? It opened everything underneath for, at the time, Cole Beasley. So, like, I guess the question you have to ask yourself, and fans have to ask yourself, Brian, is if you're going to go out swinging, right? If you're you got one pitch for the World Series, are you going to let the strike go down the middle? Are you going to watch it? Or are you going to give it a swing and hope for the best? For me, if I'm swinging, I'm taking my chances on a guy that could, you know, get you a 65-yard touchdown over the top, because big plays are the thing in this league that I think separate good offenses.
Yeah, I wish I could agree with you. But, I mean, when Keon Coleman is playing 72% of snaps and they show no interest in taking him off the field, you can't even flip Curtis Samuel out there to let him run a go route or Elijah Moore play on the outside. They show no interest in that at all.
What if I told you that Rashid Shaheed's presence here by 5 weeks in the lineup gets Keon Coleman snap counts from the 70% down to the 20%. Could I sell you then?
Yeah, if you could guarantee that.
I can't guarantee it. There's no guarantee fairy, Brian, as you know.
Yeah, no, Coleman ain't going to come off the field because we've got to justify the 33rd overall pick. And so we got to play him at X no matter what. It doesn't matter if he can't separate. We come out of the bye, he's still out there.
Yeah.
Some of these routes today, too, when you rewind them back in real time, I don't even know what they are. Like, Coleman, there was one, he jogs off the line, turns around. Of course, there's no separation, but then he just, like, drops the ball. There's some on with Samuel, same thing. He's, like, jogging off the line. He's 4 and 5 yards off. There's obviously no separation there. It's such a conservative pass game that I don't think that you can put anybody in there. I don't see him slotting anybody else in there. The only thing I could hope is, like, Palmer comes in and starts to dial back some of Keon Coleman's snaps. But I think you're stuck with a death by a thousand cuts offense with this coordinator. You get real good at the run game, sure, but that's only with Cook. But, yeah, I offensively, I don't even think Shaheed would even see the field if they gifted you him today. I don't even know, like, would the Bills even know how to use him? I'm not convinced of that.
Brian, you made a lot of good points. Thanks for the call, buddy. Listen, nothing of what you say, I don't wholeheartedly disagree with any of it.
That's the fears. I don't totally disagree with it. I do wonder, though. It's a small thing. Palmer, though, before he goes down, they finally were opening up the passing game.
I don't want to stop short of saying they were opening it up. They threw it downfield
and it worked. And it was a bad throw by Allen. But they started to maybe do some of that. Again, this is glass half full looking at it, because I want them to add a guy like Rashid Shaheed. And I don't disagree with the caller at all. Like, you look at the pass failures, the past options, and it has been a lot of, the idea is cool. We don't use them. Like Amari Cooper is kind of the same thing. They brought him in, like the idea, and he would do like one or two plays a game. I think, though, looking at that, Cooper did open up the offense. And I think that's where Shaheed, literally, just having him on the roster and the tape out there, if he goes out there, will scare some teams into defending you differently. And just in my head, I can't imagine a professional organization doesn't utilize that for what ultimately would be sheer stubbornness and hubris. That absolutely could be the case. But if that's true, we're not getting out of this.
803-0550, thanks for the call, Brian. Continuing taking your phone calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
Hand off to Cook, through a hole, and darts it to the open, and he is G-O-N-E gone. 20, 10, 5, touchdown, James Cook, as the cook is in the kitchen for the first time in three games.
Chris Brown there. The Bills get back in the win column after dropping two straight, ensuring that Josh Allen remains undefeated over the course of his career in games where he was capable of dropping to three straight games. He's never lost three straight games. It was a really weird way for me to get there, but
I got there.
Tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will break the game down in the morning, then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Schopen Bulldog at 3. They'll have Eric Wood with him at 4. And then 7:30, Westwood One presents Commanders at the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio. 550. Let's get back to the phones. What do you say? Let's go to Mike in Denver, who's been waiting patiently. Mike, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you.
Yes. First of all, I got to give a shout-out to that last caller before the break. I mean, he very, very knowledgeable and came with a lot of ammunition, so just like to give him a shout out. He seemed to know what he was talking about, and he kind of touched on a few things which I was going to bring up as far as the passing game. I just don't see that there's any flow or any balance in this passing game. It's very vanilla for one, and two, there's no. It just doesn't seem like there's, you know, that's a term that gets used a lot, scheming men open. But I just don't see a lot of that. And I watch a lot of football, and it just seems to me that, I don't know what it is about this offense coordinator, if he just doesn't have a true idea of the passing game or the talent. Now, obviously, you know, you can make the case that, you know, the talent maybe is lacking there, and I get that. But yeah, I guess that would be my first issue I wanted to touch on was, yeah, just and Josh seems very nervous this year. I don't know if it's, you know, the offensive line that's causing him to be nervous, but he just seems to be a little bit off of his game. And I don't know if you guys want to expand on that, but that was kind of what I wanted to bring up. And then, two, the second thing would have to be this coach's philosophy. And you can go all the way back, you know, I mean, to 2020, whatever. It's his philosophy. I think if he could win every game like he won today's game, where you throw the ball maybe 15, 20 times a game, have a rusher that gets 150, 70, 175 yards, whatever, and get four sacks. I mean, obviously, you would take that. But I'm just saying, in today's football, that's just not going to be the case, especially with, you know, these up-and-coming teams. I watch the Colts and the Broncos, and I just see some up-and-coming teams that are going to give the Bills a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. I agree. The schedule gets tougher, maybe more like a little tougher than we all sort of maybe anticipated a few weeks back, right? Which is always how every season goes. You think the schedule is either really hard or really difficult or really easy, and then it turns out to kind of be the opposite, or at least a balance of both difficult and easy games. And I think right now the Bills have a steady balance the rest of the way. New England has the easiest schedule I've ever seen. So that's the problem. They're ahead of you because they got the head-to-head. And the one point that I really want to make about the scheme and about Sean McDermott is I like Sean. I think he's a great coach. The thing that I think everyone has to realize is Joe Brady came in to take over when he took over for Ken Dorsey. He started running the offense the way that Sean McDermott wanted it ran that year.
Yes.
It was Dorsey's playbook with
the talent they got for Dorsey's team.
With Sean's desires to be more run driven. And then when it was Brady's offense last year, he, I thought, designed a really strong run attack, like run scheme, with an offense that mitigated mistakes and a defense that was the most opportunistic defense in the league last year. And they're not as opportunistic this year. And they have not built off of the passing game that they put on film last year. It's virtually the same passing game. And when they're in shotgun, they're throwing. When they're under center, they're running. They're predictable.
You even know based off the personnel. If James Cook's not in there and other guys are. I mean, that's
this is what McDermott wants. Right, wrong, and different. So when your head coach wants this style of play, even if it's at the expense of the talent your quarterback has, you know, I just don't, he has not shown the ability yet to develop, grow, and then change a passing structure. I mean, it's largely what they're doing offensively right now through the pass game is exactly what they did last year. Screens, some intermediate stuff, a deep shot here and there just to keep teams honest, and let's run the football. Let's turn around and run it effectively. And I think it can work until it doesn't, and then they don't have their when they don't have their fastball, which they haven't had for a couple of weeks, it looks like how it's looked. So I think that's, to the caller's point, Joe Brady has not really shown the ability to develop an elite passing offense.
Well, and so that like that's where I do disagree. I don't think this is what McDermott wants. I think this is what they have to deal with. They have not done an adequate job of supplying Allen and the offense with good skill position players. So this is how they have to win. Their best player opposite Josh Allen is their running back. And he is very good. I think he's on pace for like 1,600 yards rushing. He's a very good running back. But McDermott has told people multiple times what his philosophy is. He grew under Andy Reid. When they got Emmanuel Sanders, he made sure to mention you don't want to lose your fastball. It's not, he's not the one drafting players. I hate to tell people that. Bean is the general manager. They will have input. There will be discussions. But here, perfect example, Dalton Kincaid. What was the big thing about him? Oh, well, Ken Dorsey wanted him. It was never McDermott wanted him.
Yeah.
It was Ken Dorsey wanted him for 12 personnel.
Nyheim Hines. Why did they get Hines? Brian mentioned Nyheim Hines last hour.
Other coaches wanted these guys. He's got to trust his coordinators. I wonder now how much he trusts Bobby Babbage. But with Brady, look, I'm not trying to defend Brady, but we can all be honest and say their wide receiver core is lackluster. How much can Brady scheme up every single week and still have stuff fresh later in the season, come playoffs, that's still going to surprise teams? They don't have the talent on offense past three guys maybe. Because I want to throw Kincaid in there because he's had a very good year. He's picked up some injuries. They don't have much talent. I mean, they are scraping bottom of the barrel. And this goes back to years before with Sherfield and Hardy. I mean, look, we've all tried to build them up. Palmer was the same thing this year. Oh, look at the separation scores. They're unbelievable. Turns out, though, depending on which, you know, advanced analytics site you go to, separation score either has them as the greatest ever or the worst ever, and it's the same player for the same route. It's yeah. It's the worst thing ever to yeah. look at. But, like, I think this is growing this year, and I don't mean to lead it. I don't want to hammer the guy. Bean has done a piss-poor job of building this roster. He has. And now they don't have a lot of talent. You look around the rest of the league, and everyone else has a ton of talent in their respective groups. Indianapolis loves running the ball. They have Jonathan Taylor.
They got five receivers that could all help.
And they've
this
got
team.
Five yeah. receivers that all have a specific role that know what they're doing. Green Bay loves running the football, but they've got a ton of receivers that they've dipped into the draft to do it with, and now they can do that. The Lions love running the football, but they've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, they've got Sam LaPorta, they got Jameson Williams. The Bills love running the football, and they've got James Cook.
And Keon Cole.
It's what they have. I mean, and this is the thing. It is a 4 or 5 year process here of not really establishing enough talent to push you over the top. They have not done an adequate job of replacing guys that they've lost. I'm fine that they ultimately moved on from Stephon Diggs. Ultimately, if you want to go get younger and move into the – right.
If they had the plan to replace him, and their plan
and they didn't.
Has not been adequate enough.
Their plan was, oh, we'll be fine without him. And no, you weren't. Keon has not hit. Khalil Shakir is a very good slot receiver. I would not say great. He has a great trait. That man is a pinball. But there's just not enough great players. And when you look at Super Bowl champions throughout the years, it's not that they're loaded with a ton of Hall of Fame talent. It's not 10, 15 All-Pros or Pro Bowlers. But it's like a comfortable 4 or 5 that are going to be like 3 of them Hall of Fame careers. The Bills have one of those guys. It is the most important position in sports. It is also why they're consistently competitive, even when their talent is not that. That's the whole goal of an elite quarterback. You take a lesser team up. Without a quarterback, you're not. Look at Cleveland. Cleveland's defense should put them in the playoffs full stop.
Pretty much every year.
They have no offense. They have no quarterback. So it doesn't matter. Myles Garrett today had 5 sacks. It didn't match it in a quarterback. That's why the Bills continue to deal with this. Honestly, look back at Hard Knocks. I mean, the whole thing was just how Josh Allen's the best, and he's the reason we're here. And there was really no one else to look at. Maybe that was the Bills. Maybe it's also HBO looking around going, who are we supposed to talk to?
Yeah.
Who's interesting here?
Who's the alpha?
Who's interesting here? It can be on Brady. I'm not disagreeing with that. I think also, though, the talent issue has been an issue for a while now, not just this year.
A good little while, I would agree. Wow, we got a quarterback change in Denver.
Well, it is 44-17.
Getting to see the kid who, what was his name? What's your boy's name? Michigan and who was the other team that he played for, the quarterback?
You're talking Joe Milton, right?
Joe Milton.
I want Joe Milton on the Bills because I want to trade him after a year.
Everybody, he's just an asset to trade for backup quarterbacks.
That's it. He's the most physically gifted quarterback in the league. I just want to trade him in a year. That's it. Nothing crazy to it. Also, talking about talent, you think this Bills offense is going to score on Denver's defense? It's great. It's great that you got them last year.
They did in the playoffs.
It's great you got them last year.
Yeah, they're really, really, really good. There's no doubt about it.
All Dallas does is score points. They give up a ton of points, but all they do is score points. They scored 17 today.
They do score a lot of points.
That's all they do. And they go to Denver, and their offense is anemic.
Let's go to Steve in Texas. Steve, welcome to the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Hey, guys. Seems like kind of everybody's got their thing, what's going on with, you know, why the team is where they're at. But I think some of it is like almost a psyche thing of, not that this is our year, but this was supposed to be the year that I wouldn't have to watch other teams' games and root for them to lose, because that's what I need for Buffalo to be in good shape. And it feels kind of gross to have to do that this year. But, I mean, this is what they're going to be, is what we're watching right now. And those first two drives we saw today are really what this offense is.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to play Andy Dalton and a bunch of scrubs. And I get you play who's on your schedule, and I'm really happy they won. And they need to kind of bank some games going down the stretch just to make sure they get in the playoffs. But I don't care whether they're the wild card or they're at home. I want them to be in the wild card or win the division, but I don't even think it's an advantage for them to play in Buffalo. I'd rather have them go play
in a dome
in Indy.
Yeah.
Like, just get there and, you know, maybe they're better off if they just rest. If it doesn't matter if you're the fifth or the sixth seed, if you take off 2 weeks. So, you know, let's just see who we can get healthy.
Steve, I don't like the copium about the one seed, bro. I don't disagree with you, but it, jeez.
Trade him today.
That was a heck of a throw. Thanks for the call, Steve. I appreciate it. I think 2 games into the season, it was like, okay, yeah, it's the one seed. I don't know that I was going into this year thinking the one seed was going to be any easier than it had been in years past.
But the schedule, it looked like, and then once the season started, and you're like, okay, KC doesn't look that great. You beat Baltimore.
And then Baltimore
how serious is Indy? Let's be honest here. Out. Now that's disrespectful by Tolbert to do that to Joe Milton.
Yeah,
that is locker room issues right there. I guess that's ultimately my kind of where I'm with Steve, too, is just we've hit a point now. Indy's not going away.
No, Indy's
killing
real.
Everybody. Daniel Jones is just the latest guy of, yeah, I was in a crappy situation, now I'm in a good one and I'm flourishing. And or I spoke with Kevin O'Connell for 15 minutes and now I know how to play quarterback. Darnold was the same thing. Carson Wentz seems to be the only guy that can't do that. It might not be the one seed is the most important thing, because, like, let's be honest, too. It's not like Buffalo's been a fortress in the playoffs.
No.
It's great to have a home playoff game. I'm not disagreeing with that. I like when the fans have that opportunity, and it is harder for teams to win on the road. The Bills have also lost twice at home, though, in the playoffs in this run here. It really is all about the rest. It really is all about being healthy at the right time. That's where the one seed was important. It was for some people, yeah, it was, I want them at home. For me, at least, it was all about, yeah, I get the bye week. My guys get healthy. And McDermott's 9-0 off the bye. You give them an extra week to prepare for a team, they do pretty darn well at it. That's more what I cared about. But now at this point, yeah, it does seem to be out of reach a little bit because you've got a team like Indy who's in a bad division that also seems to have discovered everything. I mean, they can do whatever they want. Daniel Jones didn't look this good at Duke. So it's not like he doesn't look like this good in Cotton. No, he's never looked this good. He's dialed in. He looks awesome. He's in an offense that absolutely suits him. And he's got the offense player of the year in his backfield. Do I want to still go to Indy and play Indy in a dome? Yeah, because it's a dome. But to be perfectly honest, I don't really want to play Indianapolis right now. The Bills won 40-9. I think many of us, though, figured out after they started 4-0 and dropped two in a row and the issues never really went away. The schedule is what the schedule is. Pittsburgh did this for years where they would win 11 games and you're like, yeah, they're pretty garbage, though. They would get to the playoffs and they'd be pretty garbage. I think, 2021, they were 12-0 to start the year before they lost to Washington and eventually lost to Buffalo, or 2020, whatever year that was. And Nate, you said it. The regular season is a liar, or it can be a liar.
It's a liar.
And especially once you've been there and done that and your team kind of knows what they're doing, and this is maybe also the glass half full look to it. Bills have been here and done this for a long time. They may look at the regular season as, just get us to the dance, man. Just get us as healthy as possible. We'll throw guys on IR if it might be 4 or 5 weeks. We're not really worried about it. We're not going to show you anything. We'll be just fine. And maybe they had the exact same feeling about the division as you did, where they're like, dude, we've won it 5 years in a row. Like, we're cool. We're good. We just need to get to the dance. Maybe. And it's weird to feel this way after a 40-9 win. It is weird to feel this way. But it is Carolina, and Andy Dalton really didn't look like any kind of competitive quarterback. So now what do you have to sit here and look at? Well, the passing game, again, is very much an issue. And they picked up another key injury on defense. I mean, that's the sucky part. That's where you're at. I think there's only one other player getting hurt that would have made the vibes a little bit lower on this, and that's obviously Allen. But Oliver's been easily your best defense player this year. And maybe was finally some consistency for himself. He got a sack in every game he's played in this year, Nate. Every single one.
Yep.
He's made crucial plays. Finally finding some consistency, and he's going to pick up two major injuries, one of which might end his season. We'll see about that. We'll hopefully get an update tomorrow when McDermott speaks to the media.
He posted on Instagram, me and football like oil and water right now.
Great. So that's not awesome.
I don't think he liked what he heard. Let's go to Bob in Charlotte. Bob, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. It's Rob.
Sure.
Listen, I appreciate you guys. I just think that everybody needs to remember that we're in the second half of Josh Allen's career, mm-hmm. and he may not be around as long as we all like to think. I know that Bills Mafia got in a tizzy when he sat down with Marty Smith before the Monday night game, and he said, my wife told me that I'm more than just a football player. Not to say that he doesn't deserve to know that and have that kind of mm-hmm. knowledge. Just don't think that he's going to be around for the next decade and different things like that we felt. I feel like Brandon Bean needs to go fight. Nate was on my small little podcast before. Like, listen, Brandon Bean needs to go find that help for Josh Allen, because every year in the Super Bowl window is worth it. There's never a year that it's not worth it to go try when you have 17 as your quarterback. And I just don't Bills Mafia, I love you guys. Don't think that he's going to be around. If you think he's going to be around for another decade, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not mm-hmm. Big Ben. He's not Brett Favre or Tom Brady. He's not going to play that long. He just said that his wife reminded him that he's more than just a football player. We've got about another 5 to 7 to get that parade. Let's go get it.
Hey, Rob, before you go, let me ask you this, because I talked about this on the pregame show this morning, and I thought this was something that I said this, and then Derek rebutted on it, and I was like, I guess that's kind of a good point. We've yet to see Brandon Bean, like, truly just say, F it. Like, I'm emptying the clip.
I agree with you, Nate. I've had you on my little small podcast years ago, and I don't agree with you. He did try Von. We can't.
Well, but that's not emptying the clip, Rob. That is signing a big player. He has signed big players, but what he hasn't done is said, I'm trading my future first, I'm trading my second. Done what the Rams did, which was.
He did it for Steph, and Steph was the most productive.
That was 8 years ago.
Okay.
It was 8 years ago. They have not, in the Super Bowl window, that was Josh Allen, that was the to get Josh Allen a number one receiver, his second year in the league. We are now on year nine.
His ascent. What I am mad about Brandon Bean is because of the fact that he did not replace him. If you say that he was a malcontent, and I'm not saying you, if Bills Mafia, the portion of Bills Mafia that got mad at 14, says that he was a malcontent, get him out. I wanted Brandon to either have a come to Jesus meeting and fix it as the general manager, or replace him. You didn't replace him, and you instead feed us everybody eats, and I just don't. I'm very happy for today's win. My co-host
Me too.
Came down here. I'm very happy.
Important to note, we're all kind of happy even though we're yelling.
Yep. And I just want to know when it matters in January, does it matter, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, right? No, like we've been.
Hulu was never going to fire Sean McDermott for Brian Daboll. I understand that. I want an offensive coordinator to walk with Josh. We are in his second half of his career, Bills Mafia. So everybody pay attention. Today's win was great. I want an offensive coordinator to walk with Josh. We have Sean McDermott. He gave us 13 seconds. I was done with enough of that. Nate knows that. I was done. I want an offensive coordinator to walk with Josh, like Sean McVay, like Mike Shanahan. I want them to walk with him.
Rob, you know where you may get that though.
Not much longer. We don't have as much time as y'all think.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. You know where you might get that though? Mike McDaniel. If he's fired as head coach, they're not going to come running. And I mean, teams are not going to come running to get him a year or two into his career with Josh Allen. He'll have to have years of rebuilding that pedigree. That might be the route you have to take if that's what you're worried about. And to be fair, I think it's a fair worry because we've now done this song and dance of, okay, we've had an offensive coordinator hit, we've had an offensive coordinator miss, we've got one that's kind of a mixed bag now. If it's somebody like McDaniel who does run the Shanahan system, that can work very well with Allen. We've seen that. That might be a route to go down.
I need to go back to the Bean point.
Yeah, no, I would too.
Because he has not emptied the clip.
No, you can't. And
he has been cautiously aggressive. Not, you know what, we're going to mortgage the future, and if we don't win, then maybe it's my job. They have not done that yet.
No.
They did sign Von Miller. And yes, they did trade. That was in the Biden and first Trump administration.
I was just going to say,
what are we talking about?
I was just going to say, Diggs was during COVID. Like, I mean, we were all at home when that happened.
Right. Like, I'm sorry. They have been signing mid-level players for the entire. They've gone after one guy, and he was 34.
Yeah. So for the entire 2020s, it's been mid-level guys.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm not even talking about mid-level guys. I'm just saying, like, if I'm the GM right now, mm-hmm. and to Derek's point, I think it's a fair rebuttal, which is you want to go in with this team? No, that's probably right. I don't think I do. Mm-hmm. I think it would be probably irresponsible right now with what this team looks like to just say we're trading our first, our second, and third next year. We're gonna go get Rashid Shaheed, Justin Reed, and Quinnen Williams. I don't know. Let's just say that, right? And they figure out a way to make it work. That attitude has never been what they've tried to do.
No.
And part of that is Brandon Bean said from the beginning, we want to build somebody that gets as many shots at this as possible, and your best shot is always not trading and mortgaging the future, and I get all of that. But what they've been doing hasn't worked. So for me, it's maybe less about would I go all in on this team and more about look at the AFC. This is the time. You're not going to have to go through Burrow. There's a chance, had Chicago just gotten their heads out of their asses today, to bury the Ravens, just bury them and leave them for dead, but God forbid the bleeping Bears could do anything. So for me, it's like, yeah, great, Von Miller, you way overpaid for a 34-year-old player that gave you 8 games, and then Stephon Diggs, brother, that's 6 years ago.
We're like, reminiscing about his career at Buffalo now. It's over.
We're in the review, like, look back time. Like, to me, yes, they've made one trade for a big receiver and one big signing. One worked and really helped elevate, get Josh to where he is. But then they got rid of him and never replaced him. And then they're still, you know, whatever. I don't know. I think the idea that they've, like, emptied the clip, they couldn't have been any close. They're not close at all to just being a team that's saying, we don't care anymore. It's our time. We're going to do everything we possibly can, leave no stone unturned. That has not happened. It hasn't.
No.
I can't be convinced otherwise. 803-0550. Thanks for the call, Rob. I appreciate you, buddy. Let's take a timeout. On the other side, we got Bills quarterback Josh Allen, who met with the media after the game. But a reminder that right after this, tonight on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Packers and the Steelers. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. And by Armor Heat, do it right the first time. More of the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show on the other side. This is WGR. All right, welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary, Zach Jones, along with you. Let's go to the locker room and get some live reaction from Bills quarterback Josh Allen. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
So, Josh, just tell us what it's like for you. Don't have to put the tape on. James Cook have a career day, and the defense go out in balls, you know, in great fashion. Could you talk about today's victory?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was complimentary. Obviously, AJ Epinesa with the pick right before half, getting another six. Nice little double dip there. You know, James is playing outstanding right now. Our O-line's giving him a lot of holes, but he's just making some unbelievable cuts and outrunning people, and it's doing what James Cook does. You know, got to be better myself in that first half. I just felt like I wasn't getting myself into a rhythm. I wasn't trusting my feet. I was forcing a couple things. A couple things just didn't go our way. So I got to be better in that aspect, but again, found a way to – I think we were pretty good on third downs today. Move the sticks, and I think still there's a lot to clean up, which is the exciting thing.
Josh, where would you guys be? I mean, obviously you'd be doing well. James has really carried your offense really for a little bit of time now. Just talk about the importance of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the efficiency that he's had, too, I don't – how many rushes did he have today?
19.
I mean, he's playing outstanding. I think the more times we get the ball in his hands, the better that we're going to be. Same thing with 10, with Khalil. Just, again, getting the ball in his hands and letting him make some plays for us. But, yeah, I mean, I'd love handing it off and getting to throw my hands up from 50 yards out, you know?
What did you reference some of the struggles in the passing game there in the first half? Obviously, the score is the score, and it's lopsided in the second, so the stats kind of get skewed. But what is your concern level with moving the ball through the air there, particularly in the first two quarters?
Not concerned at all. I think if I can go back and change a couple things, trust my feet, get through my progressions, wouldn't even be talking about this. But yeah, I think it's an easy cleanup. And again, it's just trusting the guys out there, trusting my feet, and put the ball where it needs to be.
What do you mean when you say don't trust your feet? Can you maybe put that in layman's terms for somebody who's never?
Yeah, I mean, understanding the concept. If it's a three-step or a five-step, just trusting it, and again, just being a little more settled. Early on, you know, just again, first game back since the bye, just not trusting my feet a little bit and getting off things a little too quickly, and you know, just getting back in the swing of things.
What causes that?
Again, a little hype, you know, getting back on the football field, a little eagerness to go make a play. So yeah, I mean, it just letting the game come to me and again, just trusting what's out there.
Why has this team been so good coming off the bye?
I think it's the way that our guys have handled it. I think, obviously, from the top, just making sure that we're practicing the right way. Obviously, coming off two losses, you know, it's been lingering with us. So wanting to come out here and put our best foot forward, and I think tonight we did that.
Josh, do you feel like coming off a two-game losing streak, any win would be a good win? Does it feel like this was kind of a get-right day for you guys as a team as a whole?
I mean, the way that we won, for sure. I think, again, the exciting part is that there is a lot to clean up and a lot to improve on and really to be excited about where this team can go.
Josh, the defense's performance today, I mean, it kind of made it easy for you in some ways. You started to drive at the one-yard line. Just their overall effort, what did you think of it?
It was unbelievable. They, you know, they felt like they had something to prove going out there and forcing some turnovers, giving us a couple short fields. One, we didn't capitalize on it, but that one on the one-yard line, obviously, AJ Epinesa makes a great play, and you know, that's the standard that we have for ourselves, and that's what we expect every time we step on the field.
Success. Let's talk about, you know, again, the defense, the way you ran the ball, and you, no doubt, is an elite passer, right? But how does games like this turn into an elite game? And
I mean, when you got James Cook, just let him cook.
The success you guys had running the ball early, did you just notice the difference that it made in terms of keeping them off balance and opening things up for especially that first drive of the second half, the way Shakir was able to get open underneath?
Yeah, anytime you can run the ball that well, I mean, it's going to do things for your offense. You know, quick game, play action game, nakeds, you know, and then we get a that second half is how we feel like we should play. You know, the first half running the ball well, but wasn't to my standard in terms of how we want to attack it through the air. And again, lots to learn on and improve on.
Josh, a little personal accolade, becoming the first NFL quarterback, 46 games with a rushing touchdown, a passing touchdown, Cam Newton's record, who is obviously pretty big around here. What does that feel like?
It's cool. Just finding a way to win. That's all we're trying to do.
Josh, can you talk about, you know, your big play with Khalil Shakur? What did you see coverage-wise and, you know, made you make that play?
Yeah, they brought some pressure into a five-man protection. We were sliding the other way, so typically in football, you want to throw it into the blitz because it's more room there. And then you see the great effort from 10. But if you go back and watch that play, Elijah Moore, he was coming from the other side, making a really key block, allowing Khalil to spring free. And that's the effort that, again, it's not going to get talked about in the box score, but, you know, 18, Elijah Moore makes that play there. And I got to be better for 18. I missed him on a deep out earlier in the game. But for him to not care about that, to put his head down, go make an extra block for a guy, speaks a lot of the character that he has. Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Bills quarterback Josh Allen following their 40-9 win over the Carolina Panthers. And a reminder that tonight, right after this show, at 8 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Packers and the Steelers. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. And by Armor Heat, do it right the first time. More from Bills head coach Sean McDermott when we return. So don't go anywhere here on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Let's go to the coach's podium and hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
Okay, glory to God, first and foremost. Great to get a win. Really, really thought the players and staff did a phenomenal job starting on Monday. And, the process is the process, and the preparation piece had to be where it needed to be. And players did a phenomenal job. As I said, the coaches, the leadership group, phenomenal job getting out in front of our team and leading. And the preparation piece, as I said before, is why we got the results we got today. So O-line and D-line, you know, the run game obviously offensively, and then trying to take away their run game defensively to where it starts up front. James Cook, another big day. Doesn't happen without wide receivers, tight ends blocking down the field. Want to make sure I mention that and praise that part of our effort. Different attitude, different energy, finishing plays. Really was more how in terms of how we do things. So and then the takeaways on defense were big. So good team effort, and the time is yours.
What's it like for you as a head coach when you watch the running game to see your running back just biting the huge chunks of
that? Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I know the value of being a two-dimensional offense, and, you know, I love the run game. I don't think I've ever said that. I do value physical football. And it starts up front, whether you're throwing it or you're running it. So I will say that I love physical football. So that's where the game starts, and our front did a great job today.
Do you love James Cook?
Yes, 200-plus yards. But there was an attitude that came with that, right? So he breaks through into the second level of the defense. You got wide receivers, tight ends blocking, and he's of this mindset, he's going. And that's, again, that's a collective mindset.
Do you have an update on that?
And I thought Coach Kromer did a phenomenal job dialing up the runs that he did and putting it together. Great job.
Update on the panel?
No, don't have anything at this point.
Sean, when did you make the decision that Max was going to be ready to play? And from what you've seen, what did you think of the way he performed?
Yeah, just through the week, it was just more of a, this would be ideal if we could get it there, but understanding again where he was coming from and the time that he missed, just like I said during the week. So just wanting to be patient, and it's hard when you want them out there, but we owe that to the person, to the player. And I thought he came in today and did some good things. A big hit on the sideline.
Sorry about that, Sean. How much of a spark was Michael Boyd?
Yeah. Good to have him. It really is. He's a tone setter for us. And, you know, he walked in. I think we talked Monday or so, and I mean, he's just great. He's a leader in his own way, and even though he's only been here just now one game, in theory, and he understands how the game's played. So, just a guy that we can add up front for us, and gives us an edge.
Also, the decision on Jordan Hancock to get him involved. It looked like mostly passing downs. You wanted him out there. Just can you take us through the strategy or philosophy of that, at least?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably not anything specific other than getting him going, and you know, he's a young player that's played nickel and safety both for us. So, just getting him going a little bit and seeing what he can do, and thought he had a really good week. And I mean, these young players are going to make some mistakes, but the way that they practice, the way that they prepare, that's part of them learning how you do things. And then the veteran players helping them as well is important for us.
You mentioned did you have a conversation with Michael on Monday you were alluding to?
I can't remember exactly, but
was it a conversation with him, or did he come in and maybe say something to the team?
No, we just talked. Yeah, I mean, Monday we had that kind of practice deal, and then I think I grabbed him off the field and just said, "Hey, here's some things I'm thinking about," and he was like, "Yeah, hey, I'm with you. Whatever you want." Again, a player coming off of not having played, similar to Max, but obviously a more veteran player, felt more confident that he'd be ready to go, but again, wanted to everything in moderation approach with Larry, with Michael, with Max. So I don't know the final rep counts on those in terms of how it turned out, but that was the goal.
You mentioned finishing plays. Is Greg forcing that fumble up for example?
Huge. Yeah. I mean, when Greg plays nasty football, man, he's really good, and then our defense goes up a level. So that was a big time play right before the half there, and obviously then the half, the field goal that was missed. So big time swing and momentum for sure. And then we get the ball after half, so that was huge.
So a lot of fans observed on the broadcast that it appeared like you were maybe calling the defense. Were you? And if so, what went into that decision?
Bobby and I have done it together We really have, and that'll continue. So it's Bobby's a great coach. We've done it together. We'll continue to do it together.
What have you guys been so good coming off the bye? 9-0
Luck. It's a luck. No. I mean, I don't. That's the play. I don't know. I'd like to. If I knew that, I'd do that every game. But yeah, it's Lord's will, I guess. You know.
What was your thinking regarding Terrell Bernard, dressing him, but then not playing him?
Just kind of where we were and trying to get him freshened up. It wasn't at all. It was more medically where he was versus anything to do with him not performing it or anything like that. This was my decision only, and just felt like we needed to get him freshened up a little bit. And, you know, and then the linebacking room overall had some, can they play, can they not play? And it came down to the wire there on who was going to be kind of the four we dressed and then those that we didn't. And some of that was medically as well. So it kind of forced our hand a little bit too.
Could he have been ready like in an emergency? Is that good?
Yeah. I mean, if that was kind of the deal if we had to get him in there. So we got some guys nursing some injuries.
Sean, the first half, obviously James is doing what he's doing, the 200 plus yards on the day. The passing game, though, especially in the first two quarters, was maybe a little slow to come around. Was there anything that you saw that was leading to that?
Just, you know, looked like we were just a little bit out of rhythm a little bit. And, you know, then I thought Josh really caught fire after that. And the value of a competitor at a high level to be able to do that is impressive, right? Josh is wired that way. And it was good to really see him come out after half and really get into a rhythm. All right, thank you.
That's Bills head coach Sean McDermott following their 40-9 victory over the Carolina Panthers. We take a, I don't know, 10-hour timeout. On the other side, it's 6 a.m. Locally here on WGR. Jeremy and Joe will take over first thing in the morning for Buffalo Bills Football Monday. So for me, Nate Geary, Zach Jones, and Tanner Saunders, we appreciate you listening to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.